Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nixivah Daf Ayin Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is long as Zechin Nishmas Libig Arvela Bashmuel. We are on Ayin Alpha Mud Aleph. And I'm going to make up some ground today. Big daf coming up today, both big in terms of size and also in terms of scope. We'll get to that later on. We're still learning the Mishnah that started the Perek. The Mishnah talked about a relationship that just simply, it's untenable. It's the husband and wife are having difficulties, and the reason why is because of nedarim that are being made. The Mishnah deals with three different scenarios in which the wife made a neder. Number one, she made a neder that, or I should say, he made a neder. Again, who exactly made the neder is a discussion we're going to have in just a moment. But let's say he made a neder that she's not going to be able to get supported by him. In other words, he's got food and he has an obligation to feed her, but he says that the food that he has is going to be prohibited to her. So yesterday we spent some time in the Gemara discussing how could that possibly be? How can he make such a neder? You can't make a neder against something that you have a shibud, that you have an obligation to do. So how does that work? So we discussed yesterday and go back to yesterday's daf to go over how exactly that worked. But that was one neder. So how long is that a sustainable situation? So the Mishnah said 30 days. Okay, thereabouts. 30 days, 1 month. Okay, if he's a Kohen, married to a woman, where upon divorce, that's it. There's not going to be any chance to get remarried. So Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah said that you have 2 months to try to resuscitate the marriage. Then the second case in the Mishnah is she makes a neder not to eat fruit. Not all fruit in the world, as Tosfos pointed out yesterday. All fruit in the world, that's not even a neder. But she makes a neder, or he makes a neder, that she's not going to enjoy one of the fruits in the world. So that is sustainable for a day. And again, by Ashes Kohen, maybe 2 days. And then finally, the last case in the Mishnah is that a neder is made that she's not going to adorn herself. Okay, she's not going to put on any type of makeup, no cosmetics, no perfume. So the Mishnah says that that's just simply a totally untenable situation between husband and wife. And once again, Yosef Yitank Suva, so he has to, in all those cases, he's got a divorce. Now, in every one of the cases mentioned in the Mishnah, he's giving her a ksuva. What does that mean? So that means that we don't assign fault to her. As we'll see, and it'll become clear throughout this parak, if fault is assigned to her, so then she's not going to receive her ksuva. Meaning, if she's the cause of this dissolvement of the marriage, so that's a forfeiture of her ksuva. If he's the cause of the dissolvement of the marriage, so then she's not going to lose her ksuva. So, by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah says in all these cases she's not losing her ksuva, meaning she's getting her ksuva, so that means then that it's his fault. Okay, again, I understand assigning fault is always tricky. There's two participants, but that's the simple pshat in the Mishnah. Okay, what do we see yesterday? We already are into Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph. We should be much further beyond that point in time, but okay. We saw yesterday machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel debate, what if the neder that was made was not made with any type of term? Meaning the neder was an indefinite neder. So is that immediate cause for divorce? So Rav says, yes, that's correct. And Shmuel says, no. Even if there was no term to the neder, and it was just an indefinite neder, I'm not going to have fruit. I'm not going to get benefit from your food. And there was no term set to the neder. So according to Shmuel, we're still going to wait out the 30 days for his mizonos, or for the 1 or 2 days for the fruit. Okay? That's the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Now, Tanan, we pick it up where we left off yesterday, and that is at the two dots right in the middle of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, Tanan. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah, Amad Yosisha Shlo Tita Mecha Mikla Peres Yotzevi Teng Suva. Okay, if a neder was made that she's not going to eat fruit, so an immediate dismissal. Now, Bisham Larav, Kamistan Kamim Mefarish. Now, the Gemara points out, according to Rav, excellent, meaning Mishnayos work out great. Because according to Rav, there's a difference whether a neder was made with a term and a neder was made with no term. If it was made with a term, so then we're going to wait a certain amount of time. If there was no terms to the neder, it was an indefinite neder, so that means an immediate dissolvement of the marriage. So according to Rav, I understand the difference between the first case of the Mishnah and the second case of the Mishnah. El Shmuel Kasha, but according to Shmuel, obviously it's difficult, because according to Shmuel, even if an indefinite neder, there should still be some waiting period. So the Gemara says, Hach b'mayskin k'gon shenadra hi v'kayem la ihu. So the Gemara says, okay. And here's what we're going to do. According to Shmuel, there's going to be a difference between the first and second case of the Mishnah. The difference between the first and second case of the Mishnah is who was the one who initiated the neder. Meaning, in the Mishnah, the word that's used is hamadir. Now, what does the word madir mean? Madir means that he made the neder. But what the Gemara now is asserting is that in the second case of the Mishnah, he wasn't the one who originated the neder. She originated the neder. Now, we know the halacha is very clear. We'll spend an entire mesechta talking about it. Now, it won't be the entire mesechta, but a good part of the next mesechta in the Nedarim discusses how we know that the husband now has three responses to his wife's neder. Either, number one, he could be mekayim. He could simply say, good, that's... I approve the neder, that's a good neder. Two, he could be mefer, he can annul the neder. Or three, he could be shosik, he could be quiet, and after 24 hours have come and gone, so then the neder is in fact sustained. Those are the three responses. So what the Gemara now is discussing is a scenario where she made the neder, and he was mekayim the neder. In other words, he gave an approbation. And now the question becomes the following question. When she is the one who makes the neder, and he approves the neder, so who do we assign the fault to? Again, fault is a tricky word, but basically, who's responsible for that neder? Is it she or is it him? So the Gemara says that's exactly what's at issue over here. Kigon shenadra he v'kayim la. So he made the neder, sorry, she made the neder and he was mekayim. V'kasavra meir, who knows, and that's babin shenah. And Rameir's of the opinion that we assign responsibility to him. Meaning he's the one responsible now because he had an opportunity to be made for the neder. He didn't annul the neder. He was mekayim the neder. And therefore, we point our finger to him and said, that was your fault. You had a chance to be made for. You weren't made for. And therefore, that's a dissolvement of the marriage. Immediate dissolvement of the marriage, as opposed to the previous case where we tried to resurrect the marriage for a certain amount of time. The Gemara now is going to be dealing for the rest of this Amud with a lot of trying to match pieces of a puzzle. Because we have it right now that according to Rav Meir, if a woman makes a neder and he's mekayim the neder, so that shifts responsibility over to him. To which the Gemara says, I don't know if that's right, consider the following. Let's say a woman decides that she wants to be a nazir. Can a woman be a nazir? Let's not think too hard about that question. The answer is yes. The Torah says so. The Torah allows a man or a woman to become a nazir. So Aisha Shanadra Menazir, Vishama Bala Velo Hefer La, and the husband hears it, and he wasn't Mefer, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Omrim, Hinas Naefsba Benjina. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, now listen carefully on the words Rabbi Meir, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda say that that's her fault and that's her responsibility. And therefore, Imrasa Bala Hafer Yafir. Now, if the husband wants to be Mefer the neder, that's fine. The Imam are Iyashi Be'isha Nadranit. However, let's say the husband could be Mefer the neder, but he says, look, I can annul this vow, but enough already with a wife who keeps making Nadarim, takes a Shlo B'Ksuva. So, according to Rabbi Meir, so that could be cause for a dissolvement of the marriage and she forfeits her Ksuva. So, what did we just learn? That according to Rabbi Meir, if a woman makes a neder and the husband even if he's not made for the neder, even if he lets it go, he lets it slide, still, the point is that according to Rav Meir, that's her responsibility. She was the one who originated the neder, and therefore she forfeits her ksuva.
But is there a difference between whether he's mekayim or he's just passive?
Right. That's a great question. Agreed. It's a great point. It is a very good point. I was sensitive to that as well. For the time being, let's go on, because you'll see the Gemara is not going to make any distinction. You could make the distinction, but just right now we're just going to try to iron out the Tanaim. Rabbi Yossi, just give me 1 second. Rabbi Yossi, Rav Elazar, Armim, who knows the Netzvah Ben Shinah. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rav Elazar, no. He had a chance to be made for the Neder. He wasn't made for the neder, that was his lost opportunity not to annul the vow. Now, if the husband wants to be made for the neder, obviously it's within his right. The imam again, let's say he says, "Look, I could be made for the neder, but I don't want a woman who is going to be making the derm." Yotzi v'yitink suva. So, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lazar, so you divorce. That's grounds for divorce, but it's still, we consider it now to be not her fault. That's considered his fault. And therefore, he gives her a ksuva. So now what just happened? In this brisa that we just learned together, comes out that according to Reb Meir, a woman makes a neder and the husband annuls or does not annul the neder, according to Reb Meir, that is considered her fault, not his fault. And the Gemara suggested that, what's the pshat in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, which again, by the way, our Mishnah doesn't say that it's going like Reb Meir. I didn't make this point clear. Let me make this point clear. The Mishnah has a Tanakhama's viewpoint and then Rav Yehuda. We generally assume that Stam Mishnah, that if you have an anonymous Mishnah, it's one like Rav Meir. So that's why right now the Gemara sees this as being an issue. So the Gemara says Epoch. All right, so the Brisa that we just learned together, so what we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of adjusting. Okay, a little shifting, a little editing. So Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Armim, Huno Sein. So according to Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, so you see what we just did? We just slid Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda over to the other side. So they're the ones who say that he's at fault. Rav Yosef, Rav Elazar, Armim, he nastan. According to Rav Yosef and Rav Elazar, that is going to be her fault. Okay, so we just switched everything around. The Gemara says, now you know, with every solution, there's a problem. Okay, there is no, it's just like the world of drugs, meaning there's no perfect drug, right? There's going to be a benefit, and there's going to be a side effect. So good. So we had a solution, but with a solution comes a problem. What's the problem? So Rav Yosi hinasna. So now what we did is we took Rav Yosi, we put him to the other side of that equation. Rav Yosi says that it's her fault. So the Gemara says Vatanan, Rav Yosi Armer. Meanwhile, remember our Mishnah? You don't have to. You can just look. You can just turn back the page. Rav Yosi says, we're talking about the woman who was refusing to adorn herself and makes a neder to the effect that she's not going to, he makes a neder. Again, it could go either way. Or you know what? Let's say it like this. She was the one who made the neder, and he wasn't made for it, and he didn't annul the neder. So if it's a poor woman, Rav Yosi says, so in order for this kind of neder to be grounds for divorce, it has to be a poor woman who's not used to putting on a lot of makeup, so therefore it has to be an indefinite neder. But what did we learn in our Mishnah? That according to Rav Yosi, if a neder is made, so by an ani, shlo nasan kitzva, vashir shloshim yom, good, so that's Rav Yosi of our Mishnah. And what comes out, according to Rav Yosi of our Mishnah, it's his fault, because our Mishnah says that you give her ksuva. So the Gemara says, Ema Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yosi, Omrim, Hu Nosein, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Omrim, He Nasna. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to just play around with the Tanayim. Play around. I'm not trying to speak irreverentially. I mean, just shift everything around. So we're going to have Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosi on the side of it's his fault, and we're going to have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar on the side that's her fault. Okay? So now it comes out good. So the two Tanayim of our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosi, who both say it's his fault, are now going to coordinate with the Braisa, but the edited version of the Braisa, where the edited version of the Braisa, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Meir say it's his fault. Good. This of Rabbi Yehuda, he nasna vatanan. Gemara says, okay, but go on, because we have another Braisa. Which, or I should say, rather a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer b'Yisrael yom echad yikayim. Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's a Yisrael, so for one day you're going to be mekayim, and that's Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. So, and Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah is saying that's his fault, not her fault. So, Ema, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Omrim, Huno, same. So the Gemara says, okay, one final editing of the Braisa. And I think I'm not even telling the truth. I think there's going to be more editing coming up. But, okay, fine. So so we're going to have now three Tanayim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosi saying that's his fault. Again, she makes a neder, and he doesn't annul the neder. So that's his fault, according to those three Tanayim. Those are the three Tanayim that are mentioned in our Mishnah, all assigning blame to him. And Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's her fault. So the Imtim Salam Razuki Zuki Kitana, the Gemara says, now look, if this editing offends you, and why would it offend you? Because the Gemara says, look, generally speaking, I mean, we've gone through Baruch Hashem, we've gone through a lot of Braisas and a lot of Mishnayos, and usually they work in pairs. You have a pair of Tanayim on this side, you have a pair of Tanayim on this side. Now, I don't know, I don't fully understand the math. It's, you know, it seems to be a higher level math in terms of why it has to work out that way, where it's in pairs. But the Gemara says, if you have a general tradition that the Tanayim are presented in pairs, and it's offsetting to put three Tanayim on one side and one Tanayim on the other side, the Gemara says, that's reasonable. So then, Ema Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, Omer Hinasna, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Omer Huno Sein. So the Gemara says, so here's what you could do. You could put Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar on the side that's her fault. You could put Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi on the side that's his fault. And now, almost perfect, because which Tanaim are mentioned in our Mishnah? Again, our Mishnah is assigning blame to him. So in our Mishnah, we saw the names Rabbi Yossi come up, and we saw Rabbi Yehuda come up. Now, there was no mention of Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah. There was just an assumption that we have an anonymous Tana in our Mishnah, and Stam Tana can Rabbi Meir. Gemara says, so that let's just change that assumption. The Hastama, the Loker Rabbi Meir. And even though we have a Mishnah, and even though the Mishnah generally is a Stam Mishnah can Rabbi Meir, but let's not assume that, and now everything would work out. So we have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah coordinating now with the edited version of the Braisa, that if she makes a neder and the husband doesn't annul it, that's blame is on him, and therefore she doesn't lose her ksuva, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, who say, no, that is her fault. The Gemara says now, more things that we need to iron out, and that's the following. Rabbi Yossi says that if it's a poor woman, and she makes a neder that she's not going to adorn herself, so husband can annul such a vow. Now we get onto a topic which I don't want to spend too much time on because it's not really our topic for today and we're behind. But we get to a topic of what's within the purview of a husband to annul. Meaning he can simply not annul any vow that a wife makes, but there has to be certain criteria in terms of a husband annulling the wife of a vow. And we're going to learn together now the Mishnah Nedarim. Eilu dvarim shabal meifer dvarim sheish b'hem inui nefesh. Anything where the woman is being ma'ana herself, she's afflicting herself. The word inui, like we see by Yom Kippur. Right? V'inisim es nafsho seichem. So, im erchatzim lo erchatz. She makes a vow, she makes a neder that she's going to bathe or she's not going to bathe. Now, the not bathing, by the way, that makes perfect sense. Meaning, that's obviously inui. For her not to take a bath for whatever the duration of her neder is. The neder that she is going to take a bath, that's tricky. Meaning, obviously, that's not inui. That's a good thing, to take a bath. Obviously, in the context of this Mishnah, what that phrase means in the Mishnah is that if I take a bath, that's going to trigger a neder that I'm not going to bathe anymore, or for a certain duration of time. That's the way you have to understand the Mishnah. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. What's the inui? Im et kashet im lo et kashet. Either I'm going to adorn myself or I'm not going to adorn myself. Again, same story over there. Right? Not adorning, obviously, that's inui. Adorning, in this context, means if I adorn myself, that's going to trigger a neder that I'm not going to adorn myself for whatever period of time. Am Rav Yossi ein elu nidre inui nefesh. Rav Yossi is of the opinion this is not inui nefesh. The Elohei nidre inui nefesh. What falls under the category for inui nefesh? Shlo ochabas v'shlo eshtayayin v'shlo et kashet. The big day sivonim. Either not going to eat meat, not going to drink wine, or I won't put on big day color clothing. These are considered inui nefesh. Okay, so for whatever reasons, Rav Yossi is of the opinion that not adorning doesn't fall under the category of inui nefesh. If it doesn't fall under, again, for reasons which we don't have to explore right now, but if it doesn't fall under the category of inui nefesh, so then the husband does not have the right to annul such a neder. If the husband does not have a right to annul such a neder, so then what kind of discussion are we having in our Mishnah? You know it's his fault. What do you mean it's his fault? He can't be made for the neder. It does, according to Rav Yossi, it doesn't fall under the category of inui nefesh. The Gemara says, we're on the top now of Ayin Alpha Mabez, Hacha b'mayiskin mitvarim shebeinu levana. So the Gemara says, look, the word mitkashet is a broad term. Maybe what our Mishnah is describing is not adorning that affects their relationship. Meaning, here we are now in a second category. The first category where the Torah says that a husband can annul the wife's neder if it falls under the category of inui nefesh. And then there's a debate amongst the Tanaim, what falls under the category of inui nefesh. On a second tier category, there's also dvarim shebeino levena, things that affect him and her. Meaning if it's a neder that impacts the relationship, even if it's not per se inui nefesh, that also is subject to the husband's ability to annul. Now the Gemara says, now this second category, not universally accepted. Hanich laman dama dvarim shemeno levena haba mefer. Alaman dama ina ba mefer maikla meimar. The Gemara says, yeah, but this is subject to a debate, whether or not a husband can annul such a vow. De itmar, this amachlokis amorayim. Dvarim shemeno levena ravuna amar haba mefer. Ravun is of the opinion the husband can annul. Rav adabav amar ina ba mefer. And Rav Ada Ba'ava says that a husband cannot annul it. Shalom Atzina Shul Shemes Ba'al Farpir. The Gemara over here says that, look, even if she says that she's not going to adorn herself, that does not necessarily mean that's not going to impact the relationship. Rashi over here points out, the Gemara here is speaking by way of analogy. It just simply means that even if she makes a neder that she says that she's not going to beautify herself, and in this context, beautifying herself means that she is not going to take care of herself. Rashi goes on to point out, still the husband and her can be intimate with one another. The Gemara over here is speaking b'derech hamashal about the fox not dying in his own foxhole. To see Rashi for exactly what that means, but the point being is that they could still maintain a relationship. Elahacha b'mayaskinan kigon detalin l'kishuteha b'tashmei shamita. So the Gemara says, okay, what the way to understand our Mishnah, meaning, so let's gather ourselves now. We have Rav Yossi saying that, well, again, we have the Torah saying that the husband has the right to annul his wife's neder. The Torah says that's only when it applies to Inui Nefesh. What is under the category of Inui Nefesh and Machlokas Tanayim? Rav Yossi happens to be of the opinion that adorning yourself does not fall under the category of Inui Nefesh, for whatever reason, but it's not under the category. Maybe it falls under the category of Dvarim Shebeino Levena, the things that affect their relationship. Happens to be that's also subject to a machlokas amarayim, whether or not adorning themselves is going to affect their relationship. And one opinion says that it's not going to affect their relationship. Okay, and the Gemara explained that as well. If all that's correct, if all that's true, so then what business does a husband have a right to annul the wife's neder that she's not going to adorn herself? So the Gemara says, "Kigon de talina l'kishuta b'tash meshamita." So the Gemara says that here's what she did: she linked adorning herself with tash meshamita, meaning if I adorn myself, then tash meshamita will be forbidden. Da amra, Gemara spells it out. Yeser tash meshamita alecha imet gashet. My tash meshamita should be forbidden if I adorn myself. Kedamar of Kahana, damar of Kahana, nas tash meshvech alecha kofe umisham shto. The Gemara over here, just this is a detailed discussion in terms of how exactly the neder needs to be formulated. Hanath tashmishi alecha. If she says, if her statement is that the benefit of my benefit should be prohibited to you, so kofe misham shto, then that's not a neder. Hanath tashmishecha alai yafer. However, if she says that your benefit of tashmish should be usur, so that is now a neder that needs a response, he will annul lefishay machin adam davar asur lo, because basically she's making herself forbidden to him, and she can't, and she has the right to do that, and therefore he has to annul it. Period. Okay, so that's the end. So that's the Gemara's solution to our Mishnah. Again, a very technical discussion in terms of how is it that he could be made for the neder of not adorning, because not adorning is, according to Rav Yossi, not inui nefesh, and it will not necessarily impact the relationship between the two of them. So the Gemara says is that what she's doing is she's linking adorning herself with tashmish shemitah.
Isn't that inui nefesh for both of them?
It is, but it's something that he can be made for. Velotit kashet, velote aser. So the Gemara says, okay, so how about this? How about she doesn't adorn herself and she doesn't become aser? Imken kara la menuvelas. The Gemara says, okay, but then she's going to have the social pressure. People are going to say, right, this woman is not, she's not taking care of herself. Okay, in other words, there'll be just too much pressure on her, and she can't live that way by not adorning herself. So the Gemara says, okay, so how about this? She'll adorn herself, and again, she has a neder that's linked, and the linkage of that neder will forbid relations. Here's the part I don't understand then. If all what we said is correct, well then, that's not cause for immediate divorce, like we learned earlier back in the sixth parak. Either a week or 2 weeks, depending on whether you hold like Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Hani milehecha de'adra iuv de'savar mirtach ratach ilavai. Gemara says very interestingly that, look, if he was the one who made the neder about tashmish shemita, so then yes, you wait out a week or you wait out 2 weeks, and you'll try to resuscitate and revive the marriage. And by that I mean you'll go to a chacham and you'll find a pesach for a neder, and fine. V'hashta mosiv daite. Aval hacha, but in our Mishnah, remember, our Mishnah is discussing what case? She's the one who made the neder. And oddly enough, it is an irony, where if the husband made the neder, so then there's a chance that we're going to resuscitate the marriage and we'll give it a week or 2 weeks. But if she's the one who made the neder, and iu v'shasik la, and he's quiet, meaning he approves the neder, tacitly, by not saying anything, savra, so now here's the thought process, her thought process. Me the ishtik misna hu desanili. Look, I know I'm the one who made the neder, but by him not responding and not saying anything, it means that he's an approval of the neder that I made, and the neder that she made was regarding Tashmish Amita. Oh, so he must hate me, and therefore that's an unsalvageable marriage, and that's grounds for me to divorce. And everyone appreciate the irony that if he makes a neder, okay, so let's give it a chance. Right, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. But if she made the neder and he approved it, so then that's the Gemara calls that just simply an unsalvageable marriage, which is grounds for immediate divorce.
Because in the first case, only 1% has changed their mind. Here, 2% has changed their mind.
Right, correct. Right. No, I understand. It just, it speaks to the complexity of the human relationship. The Rabbi Yossi Omer Ba'anish Lonas and Kitzvah. Okay, Rabbi Yossi says that if it's a poor woman who made an indefinite neder about not adorning herself, not taking care of herself, the Kama Kitzvah, the Gemara says, okay, now when we're talking about indefinite versus definite, so what kind of time frame are we talking about? Again, a woman who is not used to putting on makeup, she is an aniya, she's a poor woman, but still, in the Mishnah it says indefinite, so okay. What's the opposite of indefinite? What's for her, quote unquote, a normal schedule of adorning herself? So I'm reviewing Rav Shmuel Yud Beis Chodesh. So one opinion of the Gemara is 12 months. Again, remember we're talking about women who are of a lower socioeconomic class, and it's not normal for her. So once every 12 months. Rav Baruchana Amar Rav Yochanan Esar Shanim. Okay, once every 10 years. Okay, talk about an anniversary. It's a special, right? Special 10-year anniversary. Okay, she's gonna, she'll dress up for the occasion. And Rav Chisda Amar Avim Regel Shekem Benosi So Mitkashor Beregel. And Rav Chisda, the name of Avim, he says no Yontif. Yontif, they'll dress up. Over Ashir Lama Yom. So Maishna Lama Yom. So the Gemara says, and for an Ashira, so for her, an acceptable amount of time where she's going to go without adorning herself is 30 days. Where does that number come from? Maishna Lama Yom. Amar Rabbi Shekein Isha Chashuva Nenis Mireach Kishutel Lama Yom. Isha Chashuva, when she puts on makeup, perfume, cosmetics, so it lasts for 30 days. Okay, Nabaye. Yeah, not only that, by the way, I was also curious. Usually, this is like the perfect scenario for Abaye to quote his mother, right? Abaye quotes his mother all the time. So this would have been like one of those scenarios where, you would expect the Gemara to say, I'm really aim. Like my mother told me, and, he has some sort of tradition over here where he doesn't give credit to his mother. Again, mother over here meaning foster mother. Okay, we are at the Mishnah. We're on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We are starting the Mishnah. Yeah.
We say from husband do same thing as the beginning of the marriage.
No. The hafar has to be a response. Has to be a response to a neder that he heard about. Now, if she made the neder and he didn't hear it, so from the point that he hears it, now you're on the clock. Well, again, we'll discuss more. All these discussions will come up in Masechet Nedarim. Okay, Hamadir Sisha Sholotech LeBeis Avia. Okay, so let's say Rabbi Goldberg here in the shul. So he spoke this past Shabbos. So he spoke about Shalom Bayis. It was good cheer. He doesn't need my approbation. So he mentioned that there were three things that the couples fight about. It's just a question of the order and how they fight about it. So one of them is in-laws, the second one is money, and the third one is intimacy. So we're basically going to be covering over today's daf, right? For sure, two out of three. Money, I guess money is just kind of like a given, but two of the three for sure are coming up now. So enough with you going back to your parents' house. So, and the husband makes an edda that you're not going to go back to your parents' house. Now, exactly how this neder works, so that's not perfectly clear, because you can't just simply say by vow of neder, you can't go to your parents' house. Remember, neder has to go on something. So there has to be some item that's going to be prohibited. So, okay. In other words, there's a little bit of details that need to be filled into the Mishnah. How exactly the neder is formulated, for our purposes, it's important, but for our purposes, we're just going to skip over that point. And... but again, the neder is very simple. The goal of the neder is you're not going back to your parents' house. Enough with that. So b'zman shehu ima be'ir chodesh echad yikayem shnayim yotzi v'tank suva. Now, let's say she lives near her parents, and so obviously this would have a direct impact on her. So if her parents are living within the city, so chodesh echad yikayem. So for 1 month, it's a sustainable marriage. But anything beyond that point in time, 2 months already, Yotze V'Tank Suva, once again, it is an unsustainable marriage where she is prevented from going back to her parents' house for more than a month. Now, let's say the parents don't live within the city. So anyway, she's not visiting her parents with that kind of frequency. So Regal Echad Yikayim Shloshi Yotze. So Regal Echad, so for one Yontiv, okay, sustainable. For three Yontivs, Yotze V'Tank Suva. Now, the obvious point over here is that the Mishnah kind of skipped a step. Meaning we went, right, we jumped from one to three. What happened to the number two? Okay, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. So, point number two in the Mishnah, husband says to his wife, enough with you going to chasnas. Right, a wedding every other night, enough. And so he makes a neder that she's not going to go to chasnas, and he makes a neder that she's not going to go to the Beis Avos, she's not going to go to the house of mourning. The Gemara later on is going to wonder, and well, the Gemara will ask the question, we'll answer the question, I can understand... Again, it's not defendable, but I can understand a husband not wanting his wife to go to a simcha. But what's wrong with going to the Beis Avel? What could be the issue there? So Yotze V'Tank Suva, once again, that's just simply unsustainable, and the grounds for divorce. Because what he's doing is he's locking the door on her. In other words, and that's just simply an unsustainable relationship. Now, if he gives a reason, so then he's allowed to do so. The Mishnah doesn't tell us what that reason is. The Gemara is going to address that issue. Amalam Menashe Tomer Laploni Masha Amartli. Oh, Masha Amarti Lach. If let's say he says to her, look, I want you to repeat what I said to so and so. Or the, I want you to say to so and so what you told me. Or I want you to repeat what I said to so and so. Oh, Shetei Mamalas Ma'ara La Ashpa. Or I want you to fill the garbage, or let's just simply say I want you to take out the garbage. Yotze V'Tank Suva. So these are also unsustainable, and therefore grounds for divorce. And once again, the Mishnah points out that she receives a ksuva. So it's, if we're going to assign fault, it's his fault, not her fault. And again, we can go back to that discussion we had in the beginning of today's daf, where she made the neder and he wasn't made for the neder, something along those lines. But maybe not. Anyway, Hagufa Kasha. Okay, we start now with a number of basic issues in the Mishnah. First and foremost, Amart Regal Echa Yikayim Hashnayim Yotzi B'Tank Suva. So it says that for one Yontif, again, we're talking about her parents not living in town, and he's telling her you cannot go visit your parents, and so for one Yontif, it's sustainable. Try to work it out, but beyond that, it's not. Now, beyond that means two. Two is not sustainable. But then when you read on in the Mishnah, it says, Shloshi Yotzi Mitink Suvashnai Mikayim. But then when they get to the end of the Mishnah, it says, three is unsustainable, which means that two is sustainable. Okay, so where does two fall? That doesn't fit in the Mishnah. On one hand, it sounds like two is too much, and on the other hand, it sounds like two is... It's okay, we'll deal with two Yontifs. Amar Abaye Yosef Asal Nakoinis. So Abai's explanation of the Mishnah is that when you get to the number three, we're talking about Nashis Cohen, Rabbi Yehuda, and it's going like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, at the beginning of the Perek, we learned that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're more patient with a Cohen and his wife, and we are more prepared to try to let it go and give them more time to work it out. Because remember, if a Cohen divorces his wife, he can't take her back. So that's what's happening in our Mishnah. When the Mishnah says three, meaning generally speaking, for him to prohibit his wife to go to her parents' house, it's intolerable beyond one, generally. But for two yontifs, for a kohen, that will tolerate, because again, we're going to try to salvage that marriage. Rabbi Barul Amar Lokasha Kam Berdufa Kam Bishen Berdufa. The Gemara says another possible way to explain the discrepancy is that we're describing two different types of women. One woman who was redufa leilech lebeis aviyah, meaning, so she normally goes to her parents' house, meaning she still has an attachment to her parents, even after she's married. When I say attachment, I mean the type of which, where she constantly is going back to her parents' house. So there, one yontif is sustainable, and two is already too much. However, ain a redufa, if she's not used to going back to her parents' house, so already two yontifs is sustainable, a third is unsustainable. And then the Gemara just fills in with a couple of words of Agadata. Azaita, sorry, I skipped a little bit. Redufa. No, I didn't. I'm good. Okay, Shira Shira, we just read it this past Shabbos. I know, you do it every week. I know. Azaita be'enav k'motzei shalom. The pasuk at the end of Shira Shira says, we get to see it once a year. Finally, at the end of the Megillah, so the man and woman are together, and as Aisi be'enav, I was like in his eyes, k'motzei shalom. And finally, we have peace. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, k'kal shenimsa shloma bebeis chamer, uredufa lelech la'agishivcha bebeis aviyah. The wife is finally accepted. In other words, with her husband's family, she's finally accepted. She runs back home to her parents to say, you know what? They like me. Okay, how long does that take? Case by case basis.
One year.
Depends. The Gemara quotes a similar piece of Agadata based on a pasuk in Hosea. On that day, so you're going to be referred to as Ishi and not just Baali. What's the difference between Ishi and Baali? When the Kala is still spending most of her time at her parents' house. So, the husband and wife, but not an intimate relationship. When she spends time with her in-laws, all right, now she obviously is quote-unquote in with her in-laws, and she's connected, she's more connected with her husband. Hamadras Ishta. We go back to our Mishnah, that's the end of the Agadata for today. Not a lot of Agadata in this Masechta. Although we just had Rabbi Akiva back on the Samachs. Okay, Hamadir Zishta Bishlam LaBeis Hamishta Igano Befanel LaBeis Avol Maikel No Befanel. Look, if he's telling you can't go to Chasnas, and she wants to go to a Chasna, okay, that's locking the door in front of her, meaning that's somewhere she wants to go. He's telling her you can't. So the Gemara says that's unsustainable. It's not a sustainable marriage, and that's grounds for divorce. Gemara says fine. And again, remember, in the context of our Mishnah, he's making a neder prohibiting her from doing that. But not going to a Beis Avel, like she really wants to go to a Beis Avel, and he's saying you can't go, and that's locking the door. So the Gemara says yes, it is. Now it's interesting. The Gemara is not going to make that argument. I like that argument, but the Gemara is not going to make it. So the Gemara says my ino befanaika tana lamacher he meisav in kolberia sovda. So the Gemara says, look. Generally speaking, we know that life is cyclical, and however I behave to others is the way people are going to behave to me. I go to a Beis Avel, I know that I will also be paid my own last respects. And if I don't go to a Beis Avel, so what are people going to say? Selfish human being, selfish creature, she didn't go to a Beis Avel, I'm not going to her funeral. And again, with that knowledge, and now again, I know that's not altruistic motivation, I do understand that, but with that knowledge, she's going to be motivated, it's going to incentivize her to want to go to a Beis Avel. And by the husband now saying, you can't go, it's going to be a strain. Vegan army in Kalberia Sofna. Now, another version, which is basically the same basic point. If I don't go and bury others, no one's going to come and bury me. What about her husband? Maybe her husband will bury her? Obviously, she's worried about that as well. Tanya, or he could predecease her. Tanya, hayyere bimere omer, my dech, siv tovalachas, beis alva, melechas, obeis mishtem. Okay, we're back to Sukkos now. I know, I'm thinking like an Ashkenaz. Back to Sukkos now, we're reading from Koheles. So it's better to go to the Beis Avel than to go to the Beis Mishnah. Everyone's going in that direction anyway, right? We're all going to die. It's just one of the realities of life. And the Chayitin Libo, what does that mean? My Vachayitin Libo, Dvarim Shal Misa. And the Gemara says, because what's going to be, what comes around goes around. The safad yispadena, yispadena. You eulogize others, others will eulogize you. The kavik barenu. You bury others, others are going to bury you. The dal yidlenu. If you raise your voice in crying and eulogizing at other funerals, it will be done at yours. The lava yilavenu. If you're malav, if you escort the dead to the final resting area, so people are going to do it for you. And the tanya tenenu. If you carry the mace, people are going to carry you. It's cyclical. It comes around, goes around, and
the husband on the ketubah has like these obligations to get like two whalers and for a funeral.
Right. Agreed. I guess the point is, why is it such a strain on the relationship if he's forbidding her from going? And the Gemara now is giving us an explanation, because it's a strain on the relationship, because now she's going to think every time there's another funeral I didn't go to, you know, no one's going to go to my funeral. Okay. Now, he says to her, you're not going to go to the chasna, and I'm going to explain to you why. So, and he gives a reason, and it's a valid reason, so the Gemara says that's acceptable. I'm sorry, the Mishnah said that's acceptable. And so it only begs the question, well, what's the valid reason? So my davar acher, Amar Rav Yehuda, the Gemara gives an explanation, Amar Shmuel, Mishum b'nei adam prutzim shemutzuyim sham. It is a seedy crowd that's over there. Okay, it's not a good crowd. The Gemara says that's acceptable. Gemara says he can't just simply say it. Meaning it has to be that he is factually, there has to be a presumption, a valid presumption that he's right. For him to just simply say it is not enough. Amar ve'im amar la amanashe tomri. Now, v'tema. So the Gemara says, now if he's asking her to repeat a conversation, okay, so, right, correct. What's the problem with her repeating the conversation? So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Shmuel, Dvarim Shel Kalon. Oh. Mm-hmm. What he's doing is he's asking her to repeat intimate conversations. They're having an intimate conversation, now he says, okay, good. Now that we had that intimate conversation, can you now repeat it to somebody else? Gemara says, that's unsustainable. That is an unsustainable marriage, and the Gemara says, grounds for divorce. And again, the Mishnah says, and the Mishnah says that she still gets her ksuva, so obviously we assign fault to him. Take out the garbage. Viteaved. Okay, the one will put too much emphasis on the line of the Gemara, but the husband tells the wife, take out the garbage. So, okay, so take out the garbage. What's the issue? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, Shetemalei v'nofetzes. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what the Mishnah over here is speaking about is not taking out the garbage. There's no problem with him asking her, telling her to take out the garbage. The problem is that the Mishnah is speaking over here, b'derech lashon nikia, in a clean language. The Mishnah is talking about intimate matters. You take a look at Rashi. Rashi says that elachir shetashmish v'yamalei rachmashich v'zera tarutz baragla v'tinafensna shelo yikla v'titaber. He basically is telling her, after intimacy, you know what? I want you to get up and walk around so that you don't become pregnant. That is an intolerable situation, and that's something which is grounds for divorce. So the Gemara gives another version, another brisa of what the instruction that the husband's giving to his wife: fill up 10 jugs of water and take it out to the garbage. The Gemara says, now according to Shmuel, where we're discussing really private, intimate matters, and in the husband's instruction to the wife not to get pregnant, so the Gemara says, that I understand. That's unsustainable. But if he's telling her to take out the garbage, okay, so again, what's the issue? Gemara says, yeah, but taking out the garbage is one thing. But to go and to repeat, to fill the jug, pour it into the garbage pit. Fill it, do it again. In other words, and to do it 10 times, he's making her look foolish. And that's unsustainable. If the husband's instructions to the wife is, don't lend anything out, the Gemara says that's unsustainable. And the reason why is because she's going to receive a reputation in the community where she doesn't lend things out. And that's unsustainable. He cannot instruct her to do that. Tanya Namiyaka, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that makes exactly this point. Shalot tashil, both directions. You're not allowed to borrow, you're not allowed to lend. Nafa v'kavra, sieve sift, rechaim v'tanur, a millstone, an oven. Oven back then, not like our ovens, meaning ovens back then were like, you know, like more like more like our grills, right? Movable items, portable items. Yotziv v'tank sufa mimnei shemasiyah shem rabbi shchenasah. By him instructing his wife not to do that, so she's going to receive a reputation. She's going to earn a reputation of being this kooky woman, doesn't lend anything out, doesn't borrow anything. And also, she also can't make an edit to this effect as well. And if she does, so once again, it's grounds for divorce. And because she was the one who made the neder, so therefore she's going to be forfeiting her ksuba. Okay. We're up to the next Mishnah. We're on the Mishnah 9, Beza Madala, Ve'ela Yosef Shalom B'Ksuva. These are the women who are now going to, the marriage is going to get dissolved, and they will be forfeiting her Ksuva. Meaning, mind you, the contrast between the first Mishnah that we've done in this parak and this Mishnah is that the first Mishnah are all things which are his fault. Now we're going to turn to a dissolvement of a marriage, and it's going to be the catalyst of this dissolvement is her, and as a result of that, she will be forfeiting her ksuva. So if she's in violation of Torah law, das Moshe, Yehudis, or Jewish law, okay, for lack of better description, we're going to contrast Torah law versus Jewish law. You'll see the difference as we get through the Mishnah. Ezu das Moshe, so for example, Machilo she'eno me'usar. So let's say she buys produce in Eretz Yisrael, she feeds her husband, she gives him a salad, but she doesn't take off shumas and maestros. She's basically feeding him non-kosher food. Okay. Umisham shto nida. Or she has relations with her husband while she's in nida. Velo kosala chalo. She doesn't take off chalo when she makes dough. Venodaris veina mekayemis. Or let's say she makes nadarim, but she doesn't keep those nadarim. Those are all examples of Das Moshe. Simply put, she's violating Torah law. A violation of Torah law, and not only is she violating Torah law, but she's including her husband in those violations. So that's simply unsustainable. She's the root cause of that, and therefore a dissolvement of the marriage, and she forfeits her ksuva. Edu das Yehudis. Now, what's Jewish law? Meaning, obviously there's a contrast in the Mishnah, and if she violates Jewish law, so then, once again, the marriage will be dissolved, and she will be forfeiting her ksuva. Yotzev erosha parua. So for example, says the Mishnah, she walks out and her hair is not covered. Number two, tova b'shuk. She spins in the marketplace. Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Umedaberesim kol adam. She's speaking to all men. Abashol omer af ha-mekaleles yodav b'fanav. If she curses her husband's parents in front of him, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Af HaKolanis, even a woman who raises her voice, the Ezi Kolanis LeChishi Medaberes Besoch Beisa Ushchena Shomim Kola. She speaks inside her house, but the neighbors hear what's going on next door. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss that as well. Ma'achilas She'inu Musar. So let's start. The Gemara starts the discussion with, she feeds him non-kosher food. Now the Gemara says, let's go over our two possibilities. The husband knows it's not kosher, so then don't eat it. The husband doesn't know, so you know the old expression, what you don't know won't kill you? Okay, not exactly. But in other words, he doesn't know. So what kind of discussion are we having? So lo tzricha de amra lei ploni kohen tiken li et akrii ve'az l'shayla v'ishtaker shikra. So she's been telling her husband for weeks, for months, for years, you know, before I came home, I stopped by the Kohen and he separated the Trumas and Maestros and we're good. And then, and Shul, right, between Aliyahs, so a conversation strikes up, you know, my wife tells me that you're taking off Trumas and Maestros off the Prudus, I appreciate it, thank you very much. Cohen's looking at him like, what are you talking, what? Okay, she was lying the entire time. Misham shto nida. Now heichidam idiadam aban nefroshi delo yada nesmachi lave. Gemara wonders out loud. You know, either he knows she's an ida. Okay, so then responsibility for him to abstain, and he doesn't know. What's the Mishnah talking about? The Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Kahana Amar Shmuel minai. Sorry. We know that the woman counts her Yemei Nida, it's a mitzvah, shenemer v'safer lo shivas yamim, la la'atzma, and not only is there a mitzvah for her to count the 7 days of her Nida, Yemei Nida, but she is trusted on the count that she makes. So if she tells him that she counted, so then she counted. Interesting, by the way, Tosus over here points out, you know, that when we count Sfiras HaOmer and Yana Diyuma, so we make a bracha. So why doesn't a woman make a bracha when she counts her Yemei Nida? And the Pasuk says, V'safra. See Tosus over here. It's a short Tosus, but certainly topical as we're counting the Sfiras HaOmer. So, Lo Tzricha de Amra Le Ploni Chacham Tihar Li Es Hadam. So she says, look, I've been going to Rav, and I've been handing him all my Nida Shailas, and he's been responding. V'azah Shaila V'shtakir Shikra. And once again, she didn't. She wasn't asking any Rav, she was lying. Or let's say there was a chazaka, there was a presumption that his wife was a Nida. It's hard for us to relate to this. Back in the good old days, the women wore special clothing when she was a Nida, and so therefore it was reputed that she was a Nida. And even though she didn't say that she was an Ida, but nevertheless, it's assumed, it's presumed, and the husband's having relations with her. So that's another possibility of what the Mishnah is describing. Let's just do one more, and then we'll continue tomorrow. Once again, either the husband knew about her freshest challah, that his wife was a mafish challah, and therefore don't eat the dough, or he didn't know. So the tzricha d'amalei ploni gaval tikin li as the isa v'azo shal v'shachas shikra. Gemara says same conclusion. She's been saying all these years that, you know, so and so has been taking care of the challah, and then he goes and he discovers that the entire time she's been lying. Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up tomorrow.